Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ezekiel, 34th chapter. The Schofield Bible, page 877. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 4 to start with. And then we'll go to one other verse also in the same chapter. We'll read these four verses responsively before reading the 16th verse in unison. Well, let's stand, please. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that for which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And let's read verse 16 together. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Let's pray. And Father, what a great book this is. And every time we, of course, pick it up, it has something for us that's of eternal value. And of course, tonight, in this service, the preaching of your word is of eternal value. Pray that you'd bless now in the preaching and the hearing of your word. Give of thy power in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know about you, that gives me a sore throat. Whew, well. Wow. I was right up there with her, I mean. That's amazing. All right, let's organize this into a church right quickly if we can. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast met with us so many times in this place. And Thou hast done for us and through us and by us and in us so many things. Tonight, would You just again give us of Thy presence and Thy power. In Jesus' name, amen. I walked out on the front porch to go to work, and there was a little blue basket out there on the front porch. And I wondered what had happened. There's nothing in the basket. And so I didn't know why it was there. I probably should have been reading the local newspaper, but I don't read the local newspaper. And so I didn't know why it was there. I found out, but then I drove by the way to work, and I saw those same little blue baskets on other porches. And then I drove over to Lansing, Illinois, and I saw some yellow baskets over there out in front of the houses. And I began to inquire, what be these blue and yellow baskets? I found out what they were, that the garbage in our area, which has been picked up twice a week, will only be picked up once a week from now on, but that the recyclable garbage will be picked up in those blue baskets. You put your papers in there and other things that are recyclable, and one of the mornings they used to pick up the garbage. They'll pick up the recyclable garbage, and then the other morning they'll pick up the plain old garbage. I was in McDonald's. Well, that's where I live. And Dr. Rice used to say, oh, he said, I've traveled so much through these years. He said, I know the airports in America better than I know the streets in my hometown. I can say I know the McDonald's in America better than I know the streets in my hometown. And but anyway, I was at McDonald's, and I saw a little sign there. It said, please take the spoon and the cup and the container of the sandwich and place it in one garbage area, and then place the other garbage in another area, another container over here. They wanted to take the recyclable garbage and put it in one container, and the garbage that was not recyclable and put it in another. I was in a park a few months ago, and I saw a man had a little sack, burlap sack. He was going to every garbage can in the park, and he was looking in that garbage can, and I wondered what he was doing. So I walked over to him, and I said, sir, could I ask you a question? Why? And the man, he didn't look like he was, he wasn't the kind of fellow that looked like he'd go through garbage cans. But I said, sir, could I ask what you're doing? He said, I'm getting all the aluminum cans out of the garbage. I said, why? And he said, because I'm selling them so they can be recycled. And I said, that's interesting. I said, why are you doing this? And the fellow said, I make my living recycling things. And I said, that's interesting. So do I. And he said, well, I guess I got here before you did and got the aluminum first, didn't I? I said, no, I said, I make my living recycling aluminum recyclers. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, you asked me. And I told him, and he got recycled there in the park. Now, I have tonight that are recyclable. Did you know that 15,000 homes in South Chicago are heated by the natural gas that comes from a garbage dump? Plain old garbage is used and salvaged in order to heat homes. Did you know that an old tire, that piece of old tire right there, can be salvaged for chemicals, oil, gas, and synthetic plastic? Did you know that glass like that can be salvaged for rebuilding materials such as concrete and asphalt? Did you know that paper like that can be salvaged for roofing, for egg cartons, and even earthworms, they say, can eat that paper? And when they eat that paper, it causes a body heat that gives out heat for the heating of water and so forth. That comes from just salvaging an old paper. This styrofoam right here can be salvaged and used for insulation in homes. I mean just an old styrofoam cup that you drink from and throw it away. It can be used. This milk container here, it says low-fat milk. I drank some of it, and most of my fat is low, as you can tell. That was good, wasn't it? But anyway, this milk container, or if you wanted to, sometimes you have Coca-Cola and things like that in containers made of the same thing, can be used for synthetic lumber. And from this, they make synthetic lumber. Even, of course, here's an aluminum can that can be recycled. I don't know what this is. Oh, this is plain old garbage. Just plain old garbage. 15,000 homes are heated in South Chicago by the garbage We have found in our generation this, by the way, is steel. And, of course, all of us know that steel can be, an iron can be recyclable. Now, if our country is going to all that trouble to recycle an old can, and if our country is going to all that trouble to recycle a milk container, and if our country is going to all that trouble to recycle an old bottle like that, if our country is going to all that trouble to recycle a styrofoam cup like that, pray tell me, don't you think that God is concerned about our recycling the souls of people and the lives of God's people? You see, some people are, and that's tragic to me. I mean, there's a certain kind of fundamentalism going on today, and much of it's attacking this church. It's not Christianity at all. That wants to condemn the sinner. God wants to recycle the sinner. God wants to salvage the sinner. And you mark me up, and that's one of the things I get criticized for. I mean, I don't care who you are, brother. I'm going to try to recycle you. If I can't recycle you, I'm going to try to salvage you. I'm going to try to salvage you for something for God. I love this story. I was out at Hessville soul winning several years ago. I knocked on the door, and a fellow walked to the door, and he looked at me, and I said, I'm Brother House in First Baptist Church. And he said, "And boy, am I glad to see you. Man, am I glad to see you." I felt like fainting. Nobody ever says that to me when I'm out visiting. And he said, "Boy, I want to show you my new car." And so he said, "Come on, I want to show you." Man, he was excited. And he walked around the front, down the front steps, and around the side, and I saw a brand new, now I think it was a 98 Oldsmobile, pretty sure it was, a 98 Oldsmobile in the driveway. And I said, "Boy," and it was that's back when 98 Olds were 98s rather than 48s. And, well, that was another good one. But anyway, I saw that 98 Olds, and it was a beautiful, long car. I said, "Man, that's something." He said, "That's not the one. That's not the one." I thought, "Boy, good night. He must have a Rolls Royce back here or something." He said, "Come on, keep on coming." He took me out behind the house. I don't mean on the driveway. I mean on the grass behind the house. And he said, "There it is." And I said, "What?" He said, "That's my car I'm so proud of." I saw an old jalopy that was the most run-down looking thing I ever saw in my life. I said, "Man, that's your new car, the 98 Old." "No," he said, "that's it there." He's never been as proud of the car in my life. I said, "What's the deal?" He said, "I went down the junkyard. I got a fender here, and a fender here, and a door here, and a part of an engine here, and some pistons here." And he said, "Reverend, I built that car myself. Everything about that car, I built it. I built the engine. I built the transmission. Everything about that car, I built myself." He said, "Looky here, watch it run." He jumped in there, and all of a sudden, the thing lunged forward about a yard. He said, "Ain't that something?" I said, yeah, that's something. He was so proud. You know why? He made it himself. You know who I'm proud of? I'm proud of those people in this room tonight that I've had a part in recycling. I'm proud of those marriages tonight in this room that I've had a part in recycling. I'm proud of those people that stumbled or fell into sin, and with the grace of God, we pieced their lives back together, and they've been salvaged to the glory of God. And I won't have any part in any Christianity that's not for salvaging. I'm going to give my life. Today, I was driving down Ridge Road in Lansing, and I saw a crowd of people over here, and you never saw such a happy-looking bunch in your life. I looked over, and they were having an old car convention. I'm talking about two old-fashioned touring cars. You young folks don't know a thing about this. Model A Fords and Model T Fords, and one car had a rumble seat. I've often wondered why that doesn't come back, but the old rumble seat. And
And folks were so proud and so happy. Why? Because those are old cars they'd taken and rebuilt. And that's the purpose of the New Testament church. And that's what the Scripture said in the indictment against the people of God a while ago. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. Ladies and gentlemen, right there is the purpose of the New Testament church. What's our job? Our job is to bring back the disease. That's the weak. And recycle them and salvage them. Our job is those who are sick spiritually. Our job is to bring them back and get them healed and salvage and recycle them. Those who are broken, our job is to mend them and recycle them. We've got a few enemies around the area that are taking people. That, in fact, one guy, they're criticizing. He's right here tonight. One of the best men we have in this room. And they're criticizing, going back yonder 12 years and telling a dirty lie about what he did. We didn't do it at all. He made a mistake 12 years ago, but not a big mistake. I mean, not a fatal mistake. And they're trying to spread all kinds of garbage. Bless God, while you're spreading it, we done recycled that fella. We got him mounted to something for God. We've got him, and I wouldn't give you a dime, not one dime, for this crowd of Pharisees running around here trying to condemn people because one time they said, in God's name, let's gather around them and recycle the people. That's what Jesus did. Give me the salvager, not the destroyer. Some are recyclable. Some are not. Some are just garbage. Even garbage can be salvaged. Let it be understood that I will salvage everybody I can. Let the whole country get upset about it. Let every preacher in America not like it. I am going to do everything I can by the grace of God. I don't care how far into sin you go. I don't care how deep you've gone away from the will of God. As long as God gives me breath, my job is to stand behind this pulpit and sit in my office and do what I can to salvage everything from every life in this building and in this church. And to that end, I give my life. To that end, I've given my life. And to that end, I shall continue to give my life. I'll tell you something else, too. If there's a battle going on, I'd rather choose the salvager than the destroyer. I'd rather choose the fellow who writes a book on the Holy Spirit than the one that writes a book to destroy. I'll choose the one who sends out tapes on soul winning and not the one who sends out tapes to destroy. I'm saying that's who I'll choose. Choose the destroyers if you want to. I won't choose the destroyers. I'm interested in salvaging. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain. I'd even like to salvage those Pharisees. They're usually not very salvageable, but I'd like to salvage those Pharisees. I'm saying that the job of this church is not to vote out the sinner, but to salvage the sinner. The job of this church is not to condemn the sinner, but to salvage the sinner. The job of this church is not to gossip about the fallen, but to salvage the fallen. The job of this church is not to scandalize the broken, but to bind together and mend the broken. That's our job. That's what we're here for. That's what Jesus said we're for. He was the great salvager. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that word advocate is the word paraclete, from which we get the Holy Spirit comforter word. And that means this. That Jesus said, I write these things to you that you don't sin. But he said, if any man sin, now get this, if any man sin, let's spread it across the country. If any man sin, let's call him a dirty sinner. Sit down, son. If any man sin, let's stomp him. If any man sin, let's send articles out about him around the country. No, sir. Jesus is not that way. If any man sin, who's we? Sinners. Me, you, we have an advocate with the Father. That word advocate means someone to run to our side. And bless God, every time a single born-again believer stumbles or falls or goes into sin, the Lord Jesus immediately flashes the lights of glory, and the medics of heaven come, and the great physician rushes to our side and tries to pick us up. If any man sin, we have a runner to our side who will pick us up, and that's Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the great salvager. That's why Ezekiel 34 says what it says. Here's the way we read it. The diseased will be criticized. The sick we'll let die. The broken we'll scandalize. Those who've been driven away, we'll kick them farther away. Brother, that's as ungodly as drinking liquor. The salvager. That's what Jesus is interested in. Salvaging. By the way, you better thank God He is. There's not a person in this room tonight but what was salvaged. And the truth is, the word salvation is the word salvage. For by grace are we salvaged through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be salvaged. What does it mean? It means when you get born again, God salvages your eternal soul. And you'll not go to hell, you'll go to heaven. But there's more to the Christian life than just your eternal soul. There's also your life. There's your body. And God sets about, as soon as He salvages your soul, He sets about to salvage your body to get you to be used to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And just as He lifts the fallen, I am to lift the fallen. And just as He binds up the broken, I am to bind up the broken. And just as He tries to bring back those that have been driven away, I am to bring back those that have been driven away. And just as He runs to those who sin, I am to run to those who sin. And do everything I can to get them back and salvage whatever I can from their lives. Down in Garland, Texas, 42 years ago, we had a little lady in the church. When I went there, I was there 3 years and almost 3 years and a half as pastor. Marshall, Texas. I say Garland, Marshall, Texas, out in the country, Grange Hall Baptist Church. I was at a little country church almost 3.5 years. We had a young lady there. She couldn't have been over 21 years of age. She was not married. She got pregnant, unmarried. Now, you understand, back in those days, it's a lot different than it is now. Back in those days, most of the people in Chicago knew who their fathers were. Back in those days, the government didn't finance illegitimate children's births. Back in those days, the government didn't take money from you and force you to finance births for illegitimate children. But this little young lady gave birth to an illegitimate child. She let the child out for adoption, which I always recommend. Let me say it again, which I always recommend. You say, I don't understand that. I don't agree with you. But you would if you'd been preaching 43 years and seen what happens to the people who keep the babies and give the babies up for adoption. And you'd believe in it if you saw what happens to the babies as they grow up. I'm simply saying, I always do it. And by the way, on this subject, I know more than you do. She gave the baby up. Write this down, you spies. Ship it to the Demases. And tell them what I'm saying. When I left that church 3.5 years later, she was the president of the WMS. Oh, you mean that you had a woman who's president of the WMS who'd given birth to an illegitimate child? That's what I said. If you'd listened the first time, you wouldn't have to ask the question. And I was as proud as a peacock. It's been over 40 years. 2 years ago, I was down in Tyler, Texas, preaching. Preached to a great crowd of 1,600 people in a big, beautiful building. After the service, a lady about my age came up behind me, and she said, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "No, I don't know. I'll give you her first name. Her first name was Mary. I won't give you the last name." She said, "I'm Mary. I'll call her Mary Jones," but it wasn't that. She said, "I'm Mary Jones." I said, "Well, God bless you." She said, "Brother Hiles, I work here in this Sunday school here at this church, and I'm one of the nursery workers also, and I help keep the nursery here at the church, and I'm still serving God." That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There are times when every family in this church... most of the people that are Pharisees are young people. They haven't lived long enough to have their children grow up. And life gets intricate and difficult. But listen, that's the job. And that's what I was there at that church for. I was talking to a man the other day. He told me, I lived in Garland, Texas while you were pastoring there. He told me about a neighbor he had, and I remember the story. Her mother had her out of wedlock. Her mother and the man that she had sinned with took that little baby to a haystack in the country. And they thought they killed that little baby. And they put that little baby in the haystack to die. But somebody hours later came by and heard a little cry coming from that haystack. And they went over and uncovered that little baby. That was the woman I pastored. That's one of the best soul winners I had in Garland, Texas. Well, you say, an illegitimate child? Yeah. And by the way, brother, you go ahead, say what you want to say, scandalize all you want to scandalize. Bless God, that's the kind Jesus died for. And that's the kind He loves. And He loves that kind as much as He loves that little baby that was born in wedlock and is in the nursery tonight and had a nice shower and has some pretty little booties and a nice little dress on and has a nice little layette at home. I'm simply saying that the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ in the world was to seek and to salvage those that are lost. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. In this room tonight, there's an ex-prostitute. She teaches Sunday school in this church. Now, and I'm proud of her. I'll never give you her name, but I'm proud of her. And she's as much a part of this church as anybody. 25 years ago tonight, she was a prostitute over in Calumet City, and she got saved because a man got saved over there, went over there, and we're doing business with her, came to First Baptist Church of Hammond, got saved, went back and told her he got saved. She came to see me in my study. I wanted a Jesus Christ. She sits in this room tonight, a respected Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and if you don't like it, join the Pharisees. That's what it's all about. Peter got recycled. Jacob got recycled. John Mark got recycled. Jonah got recycled. David got recycled. You say, David? A murderer? An adulterer? Yeah. Yeah, he got recycled. I want to reason with you now. If we have buses that go out and bring in people to get salvaged and rejoice because they do, why don't we work as hard and rejoice as much in the recycling of our own? I don't understand that. If you don't see the sin, you're for the recycling. If you don't know the people that sin, when they sin, if they come back to get recycled, you shout because they're recycled, because the sin didn't aggravate you. But if the sin took place, was committed by someone in this room tonight, you're not concerned about recycling. You're concerned about spreading your dirty garbage and lies and telling everybody you know what he did or what she did. What you ought to be doing is take that same breath and that same energy and do what you can to shake their hands and let them know you love them and lift them back to the arms of Jesus and salvage them to the glory of God Almighty. If we see the fall, we don't like to pick them up. That doesn't make sense to me. A guy can come from our bus ministry down the aisle at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and we can say this man spent 20 years in the penitentiary, but this morning he's giving his life to Jesus Christ. You will shout. You may even clap. But one of our own can make a mistake. And you will spend your time talking and gossiping and spreading what they've done, when what you ought to do is you ought to be as happy and as proud and as blessed and as thrilled and as joyous when they get recycled as the person gets recycled you never met before. I'd like to ask you another question. If we have Bible clubs to recycle public school teenagers, and when we tell about their coming and thank God for every one of them, Brother Jeff Owens is doing a wonderful job. He and his workers are going to be receive rewards in heaven for the wonderful job they're doing with these public school Bible club kids. But now, wait a minute. Let's suppose that 6 weeks ago, some of these kids were on dope. And they come to Bible club, and they get saved. And they come to First Baptist Church and make it public, and I stand up and I say, they're giving up their dope. And you clap and rejoice, and that's the way it ought to be. And yet you let one of our First Baptist kids at Hammond Baptist High School get on dope, and the telephones begin to ring. And the long-tongued sisters that can sit on the front porch and lick the skillet in the kitchen begin to talk. Won't you get right with God? I won't even give you a hint who this is. Maybe I know the fellow will know, and his family will know. And maybe Brother Eddie will know. And several thousand others, but nobody else will know. I got one of the sweetest letters I've ever gotten in my life. Young man, inner circle, First Baptist Church. Hammond Baptist High School committed a wrong that the rules say require him to get expelled from the school. And so he did. He was expelled from the school. And I called him to my office. He came to my office expecting me to let him have a tongue lashing. But now, wait a minute. Follow me carefully. 1 John 2:1 again. Jesus said, I write these things that you sin not. Don't sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. But he said, after you do sin, there's no need for me to tell you not to sin. He said, after you do sin, I run to you to pick you up. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That young man came to my office expecting a tongue lashing. He didn't get a tongue lashing. He got a loving pastor who wanted to help him rebuild his life. And that young man was shocked. And I said, son, by the way, he wanted his life rebuilt. No rebel. And I said, son, I'd like to hire you. Hire me? I know what some of you are saying. Now, that's your trouble right now. You got a bunch of folk working for you that are rotten. Yeah, and your wife's got a rotten husband, too. Let me tell you something. You like this. Now, the truth is, we don't have any dirty, rotten people working for us. But Jesus did. He had a devil on his staff, and he knew he was a devil. It's your move. He was omnipotent. He said he was a devil. Boy, oh boy, certain people I know that sure like to get on Jesus about that. First place, it's none of your business who we hire on our staff unless you're a member of First Baptist Church of Hammond. That young man came to my office. I gave him a job. He didn't get rich. In fact, he got poorer, as most folks do who work here. That young man, because we loved him back to Jesus, we could have kicked him all over the place and said, you dirty rascal of what you've done, but we didn't do that. I wish you could read the letter I got this week from him. Young man that could have gone either way. Either way.
But brother, when he had done wrong and been expelled from the school, he had some people like Brother Lapina here. Brother Lapina here. What are you doing over there? I don't like to see you and Ray Young sitting that close to each other. That's not good for the service at all. But some people loved him, and he had a preacher that loved him. Let me ask you a question. If we try so hard to salvage our young people who fall, why not try equally as hard to salvage our adults? Some teenager can fall, and we'll try to get him back. But you let some adult in this church fall, and your mouth greases its hinges, and you want to talk. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't care who it is. And do what you want to. Vote me out if you want to. Doesn't matter. That's up to you. But, brother, for 31 years in this church, I've tried to salvage your children. And I'm also going to try to salvage your parents. I'm going to do everything I can to salvage them, brother. And I'm their friend. And I'm not going to go around the church telling everybody, you hear what so-and-so? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. Well, you say, I won't come back. Well, this is the way you say bye-bye. I'm too old to change my whole philosophy of what I think the Bible teaches. I mean, and bless God, if you can just let me have another year here, another 13 months, I'll be ready for Social Security. I don't care what you do. Uncle Sam will feed me then. You think I'm rough now. You give me 13 months from now and I'll be tough. Ask a question. If a guy can walk down this aisle from our jail ministry, and we say, but we may say this man killed a man one time. But brother, our men went to the jail and told him about the love of Christ. And yet the truth is, I know people in this church that have been to jail. I know other people in this church that will hardly speak to them because they've been to jail. Bless God, if a fellow in this church goes to the penitentiary, the day he gets out, over to the house, he's going to have his arms open saying, come boy, let's salvage all we can of your life. What's wrong with us? I mean, we love strangers more than we love our own. You don't pick up the telephone and call everybody about that guy that came from the rescue mission who got saved and his life was run. You clap about that. But if somebody in your Sunday school class or a deacon on the board or a member of the choir or somebody on the church staff or on the staffs at the schools, if they do something that you don't like, or even if you think they did something you don't like, you yak. Why don't we love our own as much as we love perfect strangers? If we don't spread what they did, why do we spread what those do in our family? Jesus is a salvager. The Holy Spirit is a salvager. Joseph, his brothers tried to kill him and finally decided to make some money off of him and sold him as a slave. He salvaged his brothers. I'll say it again. If I've got to choose to run with the crowd, I've always said this. I am for the accused and not the accuser. Satan is called the accuser. But Satan's not a false accuser. Satan's a true accuser. He is accusing you to God tonight, and he's telling God the truth about you. So those of you that accuse people, even spreading truth, you and the devil are working side by side. And so let it be known. I got a letter the other day. A lady doesn't go to this church. She lives in another state. And she was trying to be motherly to me. And she said, Dear Brother Hiles, and she was kind. She said, You're my hero, and so forth, and you're my favorite preacher, and she and I agreed totally on both of those things. And but she said some real nice things. And then she said, "The only thing I worry about you, Brother Hiles, is that your love and your mercy will cause you sometimes to be too lenient. If I'm going to sin, I'll sin on that side rather than the other side." The salvagers join the crowd. 43 years I've been preaching. 31 of those years here. I have no greater joy than to stand up here behind this pulpit and look around this building and see my recycled people. I can't tell you all the people. I wouldn't do it. See, you don't know all that goes on. Because they come and tell me, and I'm not like you. I don't yak. So you don't know. Tell you what, if my enemies knew all the people that have been recycled here, they really would be upset. I could give them some real fodder. And maybe a mutter here. But anyway, Thank you. But that's my job. Hey, you're covering up sin. No, I'm not. Jesus did that himself. I mean, it's covered by his blood if they're saved. I'm not covering sin. Point to him. He's the one that covers sin. Covers it so good God the Father can't even see it. I mean, he hides it from God. God said, Where is that sin? Jesus said, Yeah, you can't see it, can you? It's underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Gone. Yes, my sins are gone. All I'm supposed to do is run to the sinner and look at him and say, "I'm still your preacher. And I still love you. And I still believe God can use you. Doesn't matter what you've done." I use that little song quite often. Mrs. Hiles, when she was a teenage girl, used to sing in a trio. Hillcrest Baptist Church, much like these 16-year-old girls, 15, 16-year-old girls do here. And they were so good, they let them sing in the public services. And one song they used to sing, and I cannot hear it sung to this day without my heart just breaking. You've heard me quote it tonight. "Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain." Maybe that cup tonight is you, but it's salvageable, and so are you. It may be tonight that old can right there, it may be that's the way you are. And your life may be bent and broken. But if that old can right there can be resalvaged to be a vessel for good, I'll guarantee you God can make you a vessel for good. We serve a recycling God and a salvaging God. And I belong tonight to that great army of people called the recyclers and the salvagers. Shall we pray? Ask a question while our heads are bowed. Are you one of those that's been damaged? Are you one of those that's broken? Are you one of those who's made a mistake or sinned? Are you one of those who's garbage? Are you one of those that Jesus loves tonight, wants to